Here's the other thing. All actions taken by board shall require the affirmative vote of a majority of the existing members thereof. So that means in order for you to take action today, it's going to have to be unanimous.
Got it.
Because it's core.
Got it. Thank you. I'd like to call to order the September 20th meeting of the VIEW Parade Commission. Could we have a roll call to establish a quorum?
Yes. Stephen Bergeron, absent. Tony DiMaggio, present. Gabriel Berger, present. Laverne Toombs, present. Heather Veneziano, present. Robert Pearson, absent. Angela King, absent. That's four members constituting a quorum.
Thank you. The first item up is the chairperson's report, which we will defer today. Maybe have one next month if our chairperson has been able to return to us. We have a director's report as the next item. Is there a director's report?
Yes, just real briefly, I just wanted to report to the commission that we have submitted our 2024 proposed budget. We expect to hear back from the mayor's office whether or not that will move on to council as proposed. We are proposing a budget for two additional staff members, one additional plans examiner, and one additional staff member to handle enforcement issues. Not exactly another inspector. This will be somebody that will handle mostly adjudication matters, which will free up our inspectors to do more infield and inspector work, which will be a great, a better division of labor, and make our, you know, function more efficiently. And also, we are in the process, Renee has been working with the deputy director of the HDLC to provide a specific historic district building inspector series in civil service, similar to what we had done last year, or earlier this year rather, for the historic district building plans examiners. And this will provide better compensation and more opportunities for advancement that is more in line with their educational qualifications. So we're very excited. You know, they work very hard. They're as qualified as our building plans examiners are, and so we want to make sure that they're equally compensated and have opportunities to advance in their careers and stay with us. So, you know, historically we've had a lot of turnover in these positions because they can only go so far with their professional careers, and it's better for them in the current situation sometimes to seek employment in the private sector. So we like our inspectors very much. We want to hang on to them. So anyway, fingers crossed, and if you can provide support once we get to City Council, that's always appreciated. That's for the folks in the audience as well. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you so much. That's great. Oh, Commissioner Toombs.
Thank you. In regards to support, what type of support that you're asking from the commission?
Reach out to council members and just express your support for we don't know exactly what the proposed budget will be going to council yet, but once it's announced, if you can, we'll make sure everybody is aware of what that proposal officially will be, and if you can register that support with City Council, that's always very helpful.
And is there an opportunity for us to address the council at the council meeting during their budget hearing?
There are public hearings, and I don't recall if generally the public does speak, I don't know the answer to that. We can find out. I just don't recall. They tend to go pretty quickly.
Okay.
And I would think email support would be.
Yeah.
Greatly
appreciated.
Sure. You all can send us an information.
It's
usually in November, so we should know more next month.
And also in regards to those additional positions, if you can put a narrative in regards to justification for why those additional.
We have that. It was part of the proposal, and I'd be happy to share that.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Thank you.
We're just waiting on final approval from civil service to change all this sort of over. But we're happy to share it once it's done. Yeah.
So, all or any council members, like in your district versus...
I think the most important one is District C, because that represents the French Quarter.
Okay.
And the rest of the council tends to follow what Council Member King will do towards approval.
Okay.
And some of this is in direct
response
to their concerns. We felt like, the task force gave their report, and part of that was we needed more funding and we needed, better staffing, so we're taking them up on that.
Mm-hmm. And just for the record, I did have a conversation with Councilman King doing those issues, if you will. Mm-hmm. So
great.
Just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We'll move on to new business. Is there some representative for 822-24 North Rampart Street here? There is. So could we have the staff report, please?
Yes, this is a proposal to install a roof deck on a brown-rated building on 822 North Rampart Street. The applicant proposes to add an 868-square-foot roof deck at the front half of the brown-rated flat roof, setback 4'6" at the front elevation and approximately 8'6" at the side elevations. The applicant stated that the roof deck will be open for shared use by the residential units, but not the first floor commercial space, which is currently vacant. The railing is a simple tension cable rail, 3'6" in height. Given the height of the roof deck itself, the overall additional height measures 4'1". The rooftop access stairway is already existing. We are stating that the application does comply with the newly adopted rooftop addition guidelines. While final information has not been submitted for items such as paving, the proposed roof deck meets all of the other requirements for the rooftop additions as per the guidelines. Supplemental guidelines for rooftop additions do not apply, as there is no commercial use proposed. The committee recommends conceptual approval of the proposed roof deck, all finishes, or any other elements that may not be considered furniture, such as lighting, may be submitted for review and approval at staff level prior to permitting.
Thank you so much. Can we have your names, address, and relationship to the property, please?
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Capella. I'm with Williams Architects, 824 Borough Street.
I'm Sarah Gaiman, also the architects, 824 Broad Street.
Thank you so much. Do you have a response to the staff report?
I think most of it was covered in the staff report. The difference between what was conceptually approved at the last AC meeting and this is that the shape of the deck has been simplified and it's stepped back from the parapets perpendicular to the street by 8.5 feet now, so they don't extend to the parapet like they did before, but the access is the same, and then we can provide DCC with details about the decking and the railing at staff level.
All right, thank you so much. Do we have any questions or comments from the commission?
Is the roof at this location going to be, is it going to be re-roofed because of this new roof deck that's being incorporated?
The deck actually exists on pedestals. I know they're repairing some of the roof because I think they would probably have to at this point, but it would it retain the existing drainage and the existing scuppers as they are now. Because
mm-hmm.
Okay. The water would go under.
So you'll just kind of penetrate where you need to
right.
back into
it
the structure.
It would float off of pedestals, basically.
Okay. The other question I had, have you gone to the State Fire Marshal or the city regarding the deck? I think just sort of a recommendation that it might be something that you want may want to do, because based on this, it looks like you only have one means of egress, and the roof deck they may see it a certain way, and so you just may want to get some feedback from them in case you need you find that you need an equivalency or something that may affect what's happening on the deck architecturally wise, or something some additional element that they may require. If, as a means to keep the size of the deck the way they have, such as a recommendation.
Any other comments or questions? I don't have a card for any public comment. I'd like to ask for a public comment at this time. And for any of the other items today, please fill one out in advance there by the door, and you can just hand them over to us in advance of the item being heard. But I see no public comments. Any final words or comments? And the last word for the applicant, if you wish.
Yeah, I think for this roof deck, we did check code, and you can have one means of egress. But if there is a change to the design, we would have to go back to the BCCAC. But for this design, we would just kind of keep it as is.
And I would just like to make a comment that when we heard this at the architectural committee, the roof deck was larger, and they did take some zoning requirements into account with their reduction, which is why the applicant pointed out that it was pulled back from the parapet on the front. Are we ready for a motion then?
I make a motion to conceptual approval of the roof deck for 822 North Rampart.
Second.
That's a motion by Commissioner Verdue and a second by Commissioner Toombs. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None opposed. The motion carries. Thank you. And you work with the final detail that with staff. The next item on our agenda is 625 Dauphine Street. We have an applicant present, and I know there are two items for 625 Dauphine Street, but we will hear the report separately,
yes.
I believe. Yes,
there are two items. One has to do with lighting, and one has to do with installation of cat flashing and deviation of permit.
Thank you.
The first one is appeal to retain gas lights and other lighting installed without benefit of BCC review or approval for application of materials received. Staff notes that this is the second time this matter has been heard before the commission. At the 4/19/23 commission hearing, the commission made the motion for deferral with the applicant to make a proposal to be approved by the ARC. Since that time, the applicant has decided not to make a new proposal or work with staff and is here today to receive a denial from the commission. You'll see there a large chunk in the property report on background information. We just read this to you guys in April. I don't think we need to go through the whole thing. Again, the applicant has decided not to work with staff, and staff recommends a denial of the proposal to retain.
Just for the record, Liz, how many?
let's see. How many
fixtures
were in the life issue? Staff counts. Three decorative gas light fixtures have been installed across the front of the building. Two additional gas lights have been installed on the side of the building above the alley. Two gas fixtures have been installed on the rear elevation of the main building. Approximately eight fixtures have been installed in the detached service building. And approximately 12 fixtures have been installed around the perimeter wall and pool for a total of approximately 27 decorative gas fixtures on the property.
Thank you. Can we have your name, address, and relationship to the property?
Sure. I'm Pauline Boudreau. I'm with the Davler Law Group. Our address at Davler is 935 Gravier Street, Suite 1702 in New Orleans. And I'm just paralegal showing up so that the appeal can be decided.
Thank you.
That's all I know. We have nothing to add.
That was my next question. If you had a response to the staff report.
Yes,
but,
ma'am.
Okay, no. Yes. Do we have any questions or comments from the commission at this time? Hearing none, do we have any public comments? I don't have any cards currently, but if there are any public comments, we'll take them now. Hearing none. It seems that we might be ready for a motion. If that's the case, be happy to entertain one.
I make a motion. Well, I recommend just moving forward with the denial of retaining these 27 decorative fixtures.
Thank you. Do we have a second? That was a motion by Commissioner Verdue and a second by Commissioner Veneziano. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None opposed. The denial passes. Thank you. And
thank you.
We have one more.
Yes.
So you can say.
I thought I was ready to go.
So this is 625 Dauphine Sink property. This is an appeal to retain cat flashing installed in deviation of permit per application of materials received, 8/17/21 and 3/20/23 respectively. I want to make it clear that the permit stated no cat flashing. So this was completely done in deviation of the permit. This is a proposal. This application was deferred at the May 9th, 2023 ARC meeting in order for the applicant to seek an architectural solution. The applicant has chosen not to do so. The applicant is seeking denial from the full commission. This particular item has been deferred since 2021, while the other items, the lighting, have been under review to allow the applicant to submit a report explaining why the cat flashing was necessary in this instance. The applicant has submitted a lengthy report from a roofing company that notes in the summary, A, the enforcement of BCC regulations with regards to metal parapet cat flashing has been sporadic. B, in our opinion, the most effective means of protecting the integrity of the historic load-bearing brick walls on properties in the French Quarter is to cap the tops. C, the copper flashing on this property was installed in a professional and workmanlike manner. In our opinion, this flashing will serve effectively to protect this property. Again, I want to state that it stated clearly on the permit, no metal cat flashing on the parapets. Regarding the note about sporadic enforcement, the report identified 47 properties in the immediate area that could be classified as pre-war cottages like this building. Of those, 21 do not feature parapet walls at all. For the 26 pre-war cottages with parapets, 11, or about 42%, were observed to have metal cat flashing, while 15, or about 58%, did not have cat flashing. Staff did not research the history of the 11 properties noted as having the metal cat flashing. It is likely that others are in violation, have been in place for many years prior to the current guidelines, or were possibly permitted based on certain circumstances. Staff did recognize at least one example at 53234 Burgundy Street as an example of a unique situation that received prior approval from the Architecture Committee for the installation of cat flashing on the parapet that runs parallel and in very close proximity to a neighboring wall. The opposite accessible parapet is not cat flash and has a proper border cap. Staff does not contend that cat flashing is one effective way of sealing the connection between roofs and parapets, but staff finds this technique somewhat work shy and unacceptable when the conditions are right, but are right for correct flashing. Cat flashing is an easy and fast solution compared to proper flashing. The parapets on this building have more than adequate height for the installation of proper flashing. The installed cap flashing obscures the architectural details of the parapet. Additionally, compared to the before pictures, the parapet appears to be much bulkier in its current condition compared to the uncapped version. Prior to the installation of the new roof in 2020, there had not been cap flashing on this parapet, and staff found no evidence that these parapets being capped in the approximate 205 years before that. The issued roofing permit again states metal cap flashing on the parapet or chimneys is not allowed, and parapet does not allow for cap flashing on parapets, chimneys, or surrounding walls. As the work was done in direct opposition to the issued permit, and staff does not find any compelling reason to allow retention of the cap flashing retroactively for these conditions, staff recommends denial of the proposed cap flashing retention.
Thank you. Could you state your name and information again?
Pauline Boudreau with Davila. 935
Gravier
Street, 1702
Bizarre
Street.
And
yes, nothing to add.
Thank you. Do we have any comments or questions from the commission at this time?
I have questions. Just for staff, clearly.
not for you. I was going to say, hopefully I can answer it.
No, probably not. I think that for this it would either be the owner or staff. The parapets, in your opinion, before they were capped, I mean, were they, what was the condition of?
They were in good condition.
They were what?
They were in good condition.
They were in good condition. Okay. All right, I see. Mm-hmm. So then just sort of like, this is a technique, it's sort of like a mortar technique of sorts.
The
the mortar flash.
Yes, the parapet cap, masonry cap, yeah.
So doing this versus...
This is cheaper.
It's cheaper, but as far as, I get that part of it, but it's something that can be done.
Absolutely.
Is it something that's typically done by your roofer, or is it something that's done by a mason?
It's done by a roofer who subcontracts usually out, or has someone on their staff that knows how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I write pretty much every single roof permit in the French Quarter, mm-hmm. and that is standard language on every roof permit. And all of our permits are signed, which means you're supposed to read them and then sign them.
Mm-hmm.
So it was done completely in direct communication.
Yeah. And then just, I have a couple more questions. So if you put the cap flashing on and say at some point you have to take it off, you're also then compromising whatever mortar flashing that's in place and then potentially the wall itself.
Another thing we noticed, I know both of us noticed this a lot after Hurricane Ida, is stuff pulls up in the wind quite often. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of this that was displaced. The wind just gets right under there and pulls it up. Another reason we don't like it, if wind can get under it, so can water, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just sort of encapsulating the water. We did give him the option. It wasn't Pauline that was there. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Mr. Zimmer. Zimmer, yes. We did give him the option at the ARC to possibly come back with an architectural solution, which might mean taking the flashing off of the boots on the front and maybe just keeping the flashing on the parapet part.
Mm-hmm. Leaving the ends exposed.
Yes, leaving the ends exposed. We've had done that before with people. We also gave them the option of, perhaps you can apply to retain until the roof needs to be redone or something. I don't know, whatever. But he didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So there were a few options on the table.
The other problem with it, too, is it's anachronistic to the historic architecture. It's not a historic material. It is highly visible, and it's just not appropriate, particularly on a building.
Particularly the style, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very visible.
And then it's not necessarily a better method based on what the roofer's saying.
Right.
Just the integrity of the wall itself.
And I know that all examples aren't necessarily comparable to each instance, but there have been instances where water has gotten underneath the cap flashing because of lack of inspection or not really visible to the eye from the street, and have caused more damage before it was identified kind of like a lot of items where it's sort of hiding the problem
say particularly on real cottages. We have had other instances of townhouses or common walls, shared parapets, where it's a better solution,
mm-hmm.
but particularly on this style.
And I'm sorry, did you say, is the roof material?
They're just repairing. The roof is just replaced.
Yeah.
Is it slate or is it?
It's... I think so.
That kind of contributes to not wanting to walk on the roof tiles for inspection, and therefore kind of deferring as the kind of taller townhouses will often have a flat roof to make it easier to inspect the parapet and the flashing.
We actually saw them putting this on and tried to stop.
Do we have any additional questions or comments from the commission?
I have a question just for clarity and just for future reference for myself. So when individuals take it upon themselves to do work that opposes in regards to the policies and processes that we have in place, what are the penalties or the repercussions?
We don't have any ability to find them. So, they can be forwarded to administrative adjudication,
which is
where this
was.
Right. So, the commission doesn't find them, but they can be adjudicated. Which work without a permit.
Which is where this was, and their option was to retain. So now they're here asking for denial or permission, and then obviously the next step would be council.
So get out of the adjudication.
Correct.
Okay.
Is to appeal it to city council. Mm-hmm.
And what is the history in regards when they go before the council?
Generally speaking, unfortunately, these days we get overturned pretty consistently. I'm trying to think if we have any cap flashing appeals. I don't think we've had any problem before them.
Honestly, most of the cap flashing that has come before us because of violation or an deviation of permit, they've worked it out with us at ARC or at staff, and we've figured out a solution. This one will probably be the first one in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So the permit was issued, and it specifically says no cap flashing. So instead of, at that point, the contractor, the owner, coming back to AC and saying,
hey
we would, yeah, we would really like to do this, and would you consider, they just moved forward with it. And then the justification was, because it's sporadic enforcement around the VCC, the roofer took it upon himself to just say, well, you know, since there isn't a consistent enforcement on it, we feel like we can just put the cap flashing.
And there were also numerous stop work orders on this property for various things. It's not in this part of the report.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the previous part for various issues.
But you said in this report that there were a number of things that were taken care of, minor.
I'm not as familiar with this property as Nick would be if he was there, but I do know that a couple of stop work orders were put on.
So it's just a property and an owner that consistently just...
I think the power was even pulled here by safety and permits.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a...
I think so. Safety and permits pulled the power. Mm-hmm.
There were stop work orders in 21... Three of them.
Three and 21.
And then, I don't know, the fourth one. And two more as well at the end of the month as well. So five stop work orders.
So five stop work orders.
Would they cut the power off because of other departments?
They continued to work, and I think it had to do with the gas.
Was it based off of your stop work order or not getting the proper permits in other departments?
Yes, not getting the proper permits.
Okay, so outside of just VCC guidelines, there is more of like a life safety issue as well when it comes to the other departments
VCC
not having proper overview.
It was the gas installation.
So when the resident go before the council, do the VCC gather all this information?
I'll present it before.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There just seems to be a consistent deviation from safety and permits code. VCC in general.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From both, yes. Yeah. Yes, ma'am, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it seems as though the council hopefully would lean more to the department, planning and zoning in regards to permitting.
We hope so. You know, we will present all this information to the council so that they can understand the history and that this, you know, property owner did work outside of what was approved. You know, and I think having five stop work orders in a relatively short period of time, you know, indicates a certain, you know, willfulness to not follow building codes and protocols. So we hope that they'll take that into consideration.
Are commissioners allowed to attend?
Yes, I believe, Tommy, is that correct? That commissioners can attend
Council hearings.
Oh,
absolutely.
And
I mean,
you
can speak.
Sure.
Okay.
If you all would just let us know. I'm just curious.
How
are
you?
The only thing I would say is that if you're here before the city council, you can say you're a commissioner, but you can't say that you're speaking for the commission. He speaks, I guess.
Right, no.
Say
that again?
You can say that you're a commissioner,
uh-huh,
but you can't purport to be speaking for the commission.
on behalf of the entire commission.
You're speaking as a private citizen.
Yeah, private citizen who's concerned about.
Okay.
I hope that this is a little bit fine.
Okay.
You could say the commission wants this, or, you know, so to speak, other than to say what the official action of the commission wants. But if you see what the point I'm making, which is that.
Yeah, we'll make it a point in the records indicate that.
Yes.
Speaking on behalf as a private citizen.
Yeah. Well, and you can say that you are. You can introduce yourself as a commissioner, but you're just speaking as a private citizen.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
Well, this is what the law is like.
I understand. That's okay. No problem.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment at this time? Seeing no public comment. Any final words from the commission? Final words from the applicant? None. Are we ready for a motion?
I'll make a motion. To make a motion to deny the retention of the current flashing.
Second.
That's a motion by Commissioner Feniziano and a second by Commissioner Toombs. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion for denial passes. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks.
The next item is 1238 Dauphine Street. Do we have an applicant present? We do. May we have the report, please?
This is an appeal to retain inappropriate rear dormers installed in deviation from DCC permit. This work without permit violation has been in place for 22 years, but has not been prescribed as it has been continuously cited and taken to adjudication. The applicant is appealing to retain two oversized dormers with casement windows installed in deviation from a 2001 DCC permit. No dormers were present on the rear roof slope historically. The committee approved the installation of two new dormers with segmental arched headers in 1979. While they were not designed to copy historic detailing, they were appropriate in size, scale, and location. Staff issued a permit for roof repair in April 2000, which expired 6 months later. In March 2001, staff observed work being done on the roof that exceeded the scope of the then expired permit, including complete removal of the 1979 dormers. A stop work order was posted, and the first violation letter was issued on March 26, 2001. On May 7, 2001, staff issued a permit to reconstruct dormers removed without a permit in their original location and to their original appearance. Original window sashes and trim may be reinstalled. Any replacement material must match original in size, profile, exposure, attachment, composition, etc. All repaired and or replaced materials must be painted to match original. Note, construction shall be based on DCC approved drawing stamped May 4, 2001, and photographs of original dormer materials, end quote. On June 5, 2005, staff observed the rear of the property and noted that the two reconstructed dormers were much larger than the previous conditions and were inappropriately detailed. Three rooftop HVAC compressors were also sighted at that time and remain in violation but are not included in this application. A second violation case was opened the same day. It appears from DCC records that the property was taken to adjudication on August 23, 2005, but staff is unsure of the result, and it is not clear if these records exist since it was mere days before Hurricane Katrina. When reviewed by the committee on June 27, 2023, the applicant requested that the committee allow retention of the existing windows for the time being, with the caveat that the file would be flagged so the next time a permit for dormers was requested, they would be required to change them from the current casement style windows to swept head double hung sashes. Staff noted that the property has been flagged and continuously sited for 22 years, and that the type of window installed is not the only thing about the current dormers that makes them inappropriate. They are overly wide, which gives them a squat appearance, and located too closely to the parapets. The trim, pilasters, and casements are poorly detailed, but installing swept head windows in an opening of this width would likely exacerbate their awkwardness. If submitted for review and approval before the fact, they would not have been found approvable under the 1986 guidelines in place in 2001 or the 2015 guidelines used now. The committee agreed that they were architecturally inappropriate, both as built, and that replacing the windows as proposed would not improve the conditions, and moved for denial. The applicant is now appealing to retain the dormers, citing hardship. Considering the dormers were originally installed in 1979 and were not original to the property, the staff suggested either a proposal for more contemporary, less historicist replacement dormers, if they were appropriately sized and located, or removal in favor of skylights. The applicant consulted contractor Timothy McDonald, who provided a letter stating that reconstruction would remove a significant portion of the slate roof on the rear of the building, tear out the dormers, reconstruct them, and then replace the portion of the slate roof that was removed. No cost estimate was provided for this work, but three alternatives were proposed. Option one, you can appeal the VCC Architecture Committee denial of your appeal to retain the dormers windows to the VCC. While the VCC Architecture Committee does not consider hardship issues, the VCC itself will in fact consider hardship issues. Therefore, you may wish to pursue an appeal to the VCC to retain the current dormers based on hardship. Option two, the drawing submitted to VCC on May 2, 2001 indicates that the width of the dormers are 5 feet. The current width of the window is 57 inches with a 3.5-inch inside casing, a difference of 12 inches. However, back in...
a difference of a half inch, I think.
Thank you. Half inch. Thank you.
Yeah, correct.
However, back in 2001, the original windows, which were replaced, were double-hung, swept-top windows. The current windows are casement-type windows. You could replace the current windows with double-hung windows of the same width as the current windows as shown on attachment one. This option would not require removal of the slate roof or extensive carpentry to reconstruct the dormer shell. Option three, although the drawing submitted and approved by VCC on May 2, 2001, indicates that the dormer width is 5 feet, you have advised that the VCC staff believes that the current dormer windows are too wide. You can reduce the window width to 36 inches to accommodate the VCC staff as shown on attachment two, using either swept top or standard window without changing the size of the dormer shell. This option would also require removal of the slate roof or extensive would not require removal of the slate roof or extensive carpentry to reconstruct the dormer shell. Staff notes that the 2001 drawing referenced as, quote, submitted and approved by the VCC, end quote, was not in fact approved. It was stamped as received, which was standard when the VCC accepted hard copy drawings from applicants. Inappropriately detailed drawings are received by VCC staff on a daily basis. This does not indicate that they are acceptable or approved. The April 2, 2001 permit issued by VCC staff calls for, quote, removal of new and large dormer construction built without a VCC permit, end quote. Staff believes that photos showing a dormer measured at 60 inches wide may have been the illegally constructed dormer, as photos from the courtyard clearly show the 1979 dormer close to 3'6" in width, similar to the standard single door on the first floor below it. Staff also notes that the meeting minutes from 1979 show that the approval was based on the VCC standard detail sheets, which are still in use, and these dormers are typically about 3'6" wide, as dormers are historically framed on the flat, giving them narrower framing. Considering the overall width of the dormers is at issue, and not just the style and appearance of the windows, staff does not find either option two or three to be architecturally appropriate. In fact, given the added width, they would likely be a step backwards in historical appropriateness, and filling a framed opening with a smaller window is prohibited by the design guidelines. If the commission wishes to allow retention based on hardship, they have that discretion. However, staff does not find an architecturally appropriate solution possible if the inappropriate existing dormer framing is allowed to remain, and therefore recommends the commission uphold the committee's motion to deny retention.
Thank you. Could you state your name, address, sure, and relationship to the property?
Yes, James Virgo Sherman. Earl Schmidt, the owner, is dealing with a medical situation, so I'm here as a consultant, 1238 Dolphin Street, New Orleans. I'm a consultant to the property.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I'd like to address a couple of issues before, because I don't want it to give the impression that we haven't been trying to deal with this issue for 22 years. The agenda lists violations going back to March 26th of 2001. This was the owner is not a contractor, and you know, is working his way through this. He's in his 70s now. This was, he was in his 50s. The 3/26/2001 was resulted in the permit for the work that was started a couple of months later. So I wanted to just give a quick timeline of these. In June of 2005, we did get a notice of violation and we responded. It was going to be set for hearing, but it never went to an administrative hearing. Basically, the owner responded that, you know, we had inspection reports. They came out every 3 weeks for almost a year. We have, copies of the inspection reports, and, you know, it's saying, you know, it goes, work is started, work in process, still working, not working today, felt is on, dormers in place, roof needs to be tiled, you know, it goes on, and then work completed, okay? And then 4 years later, we get a letter saying it's not done in accordance with the permit. And, you know, this was the inspector, and again, you know, I don't know that the roofers and the carpenters and the owner knew that the inspector wasn't speaking for the VCC, but the VCC was out there on a regular basis, literally dozens of times, and, you know, never raised this issue until several years later. Then so what happens on the following notices of violation is basically a repeat where the owner then responds, you know, that, you know, here are the inspection reports, this is what we did, this is how we did it, you know, he showed the picture of the diagram that says 5 feet, and this is, you know, again, I'm not sure he understood 22 years ago that, you know, when he submitted the drawings and the permit says in accordance with the submitted materials that, you know, that, and that is the width of the windows now, it's off by half an inch. But in any event, so you know, it's not like we were, ignoring all these notices of violation. We were responding and, in fact, went to an administrative hearing for the second to last one, the 7/19/2017. We went to an administrative hearing in 2019 and, you know, put on a presentation and got cited for some things or found in violation on some things, not on others. We resolved some of them. And then we took a petition for judicial review, which is still pending. And, you know, we agreed to stay that litigation while we tried to work through the process administratively. And yet we get another notice of violation in December of 2020, even though there was an order from the court enjoining further action while we worked our way through the administrative process. So, you know, I don't want to give the impression that we've just been ignoring this. We've been trying to resolve this. This is a very expensive type of repair. It's a slate roof, which, you know, is, you know, the estimates we got were, you know, to just for the slate roof portion is 3,000 a square, and you're looking at a minimum of 10 squares just for the roof, and not before you even get to the dormer portions of it. And so, you know, this is a gentleman who, you know, the property is fully mortgaged. He lives on Social Security. He's retired. And, you know, the ripping off the roof and redoing the dormers is just not affordable. So we've been trying to find ways of resolving the issue. And, you know, we had asked the contractor to give us ideas and, just went through the options, but as it relates to option two, the which is to there are casement type windows, whereas before it was a double hung window with a swept top. So what we had proposed in option two I mean, option one was simply asking to retain it based on hardship. Obviously, that speaks for itself. But as it relates to option two, we were saying, okay, we can take out the windows, which are a casement type, and replace it with a double-hung swept top, and we submitted drawings for that. And then the other option was that if we needed to reduce the window size, we could put a smaller window in the same dormer shell. That, to me, is, you know, the least attractive of the three options, but... You know, we're trying to find a way that this can be done, you know, economically, and so we are asking the commission to approve our request to retain the dormers, or alternatively, one of the two other options that we presented. And I'm open to questions if you have.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do we have any questions or comments from the commission at this time?
Just to be clear, I know this has been going on for, seems like, a very, very long time. Just for my clarity, the owner installed these dormers
yes.
the way they currently...
Well, I mean, not him individually, but yes.
His contractor.
Yes, contractor and roofers.
You mean he didn't purchase the property this
way? Yeah, that's
what
I'm
asking. You're trying to
yes.
ask.
Yeah. Yeah, so he didn't purchase the property without the dormer, or I'm sorry, with the dormers in the condition.
It was owned by a family company at the time. That is actually, in 1979, the house was owned by his mother, his mother, I think, was the one that did the 1979 dormers.
Mm-hmm.
It was their family home, and he's now the owner. It was a trust for the children for a while, and now he's the owner.
Mm-hmm. So he's had a history with this property.
Yes.
So and I totally understand that the owner is not a contractor.
Right, right.
But he's had the benefit of knowing what the original dormers looked like, number one.
Right.
Which was a single window.
It was a double hung.
Right.
There's a picture of it right
but
there.
But what I'm saying is that, and then he had a contractor that came in unbeknownst to him or not, I don't know, it seems kind of hard to imagine that you would go from this to then a dormer where you're purchasing windows where you started off with two and now you're incorporating four.
No, still two dormers.
Two dormers, but each one of these dormers. But essentially it's four windows.
I'm sorry, I understand.
That's our option, was to
go back to a double hung, well, I guess it's two windows, but a double hung mm-hmm. per dormer.
Yeah.
In other words, with the swept top, a double hung, and I think it's six panes across instead of.
Yeah.
That would be our option.
I think, I'm just trying to establish, like visually, I think that anyone could kind of see the difference between what was originally there,
right?
Even your owner versus what is there now, which to me would cost, you know, one, cost a little bit more to put more windows up there and to make the dormer wider. So I'm kind of I'm just sort of questioning first.
What I've been told by the owner is that when he submitted the drawings, he put them at 5 feet, and that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the director's point about, you know, it says received by the Bureau of Correct Commission May 2, 2001, but I believe the permit says in accordance with the submitted drawings and specifications or whatever.
But they weren't approved, correct?
Well, I really don't know. It was mm-hmm. 22 years ago.
Yeah. So then, and that metal railing,
that's gone.
But that was installed by the owner
at
some point in time.
Yes, but that was part of the 2019 hearing, and that was removed.
Have the compressors also been removed?
No, that's an issue we're working with the staff on about possibly putting a, the problem is that as it relates to the air conditioning units, the run from the ground to the evaporator is too long, too many feet, And so they have to keep them there, but we're working with the staff, with Aaron, on trying to come up with a way to kind of build a, I don't know, it's not lattice work, but and not a fence, but something so that it's concealed.
Mm-hmm. What's the, and you may not know this, what's the condition of the roof, and has it ever been replaced?
It was replaced in 2001 in accordance with the permit.
Wait, in 2001, when they were supposed to fix the dormers?
I think that's when the roof was done. Wasn't there a roof permit?
I don't know. I'm questioning, was that 2001 when the roof was...
02. Okay.
Well, it says here, staff notes that 2001 drawing referred as submitted. So the drawings for the dormers were submitted in 2001 and they changed the roof.
No. I mean, the inspection reports, the work goes on for like a year. I can give you the timeline from the inspection report.
Does staff have these inspection reports?
The work was started in May 10th of 01. It goes all the way through 01 and it finishes 7-1 of 02.
Just to be clear, when the roof was replaced, that's when
the dormers
came into
place? I don't know.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
I think the roof was...
Yeah, because the structure of the roof would have to be altered significantly for the size of these dormers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't have that level of detail, but...
The dormers were permitted to be reconstructed in 01, and then the next year, the roofing is also permitted. That permit doesn't mention the dormers, but it stands to reason that
they were done at the same time.
Because you're taking the roof from, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do we know what the condition of the roof is now?
Well, it's a slate roof. It's been on for 22 years. I don't know how long a slate roof lasts.
A lot longer than that.
What is on the inside of these dormers? What's happening on the interior of these dormers? Like, clearly you've got some interior space from the dormers, so what's happening in there?
It's just interior space.
Is there a bathroom? Is there a shower? Is there a toilet? Is there a reason that he can't...
Reduce the size.
Is there an interior reason?
I have to check.
My question would have been if it were a bedroom that they might need the opening to meet egress clearances, whereas a double hung might not meet the opening requirement for something that size.
But casings usually have a middle bar, don't they?
Not necessarily.
None of these do.
You don't think
so? I guess my comment would be is in regards to if it's a bathroom, bedroom, or whatever the case may be, you're basically saying about a hardship. So the hardship is the reason why that the individual can't comply to...
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, the expense is substantial, upwards of 50 grand. And he just doesn't have the ability. The property is fully mortgaged, and he's living on Social Security, so it's just not possible. So we're trying to find some way of doing it within a reasonable amount. But unfortunately, for some reason, the slate roofs are ungodly expensive to work on.
So all the individuals are fortunate to have to be architects or in that area.
Citizen probably.
Well, I'm not an architect, so
just for purpose of clarity, so we've been down this road now for 22 years, right?
22 right. Well, years. Actually, the what would happen was we would get a notice of violation, we would respond, and then nothing happened. We wait another 5 years, we get the same form letter, we respond, and then another 5 years goes by. So we pushed it to a hearing because we needed to get some resolution rather than just keep getting these letters that we respond saying, these are our proofs. This is the material we submitted. These are the inspection reports. This is what happened. here are affidavits from our roofers, here are affidavits from our property manager at the time. You know, we submitted all that, but nothing ever happened, so we pushed it to a hearing in 2019 and had a hearing, resolved several of the issues like the railing and the different things, and the dormer issue is still in.
These are the remaining items that you haven't taken care of.
Yes.
So they have moved on some issues.
Mm-hmm. And so, other words, I guess.
These are the financial hardship issues.
Okay, that the resident's unable to comply.
Right, and I believe that's the only other, you know, I'd have to go back and look at all of the other issues, I believe, we took care of, but other than the fence around, not fence, but the covering around the air conditioning,
yeah,
which we're working on.
I think it's just the dormers and the HVAC.
And yeah, you also mentioned that you are looking for other alternatives, right?
We had presented two other alternatives, but the staff doesn't like them, so, you know, one was to, without changing the 5-foot width, would be to put a different style, the double hung swept top window in that existing dormer shell. And then the other one was to keep the existing dormer shell but put a smaller window. And the staff doesn't believe that that's...
And if I could just add, just to on top of that, the reason why the staff does not think either one of those options is appropriate is that in the first option, where you would be putting a replacement double hung window with a swept or a rectangular head, would be because it would be a disproportionately wide window. And the other option would be to put a more appropriately sized window in that dormer shell, means that it would be a small window in a large dormer, which is awkward proportionally.
Like this.
We don't do that.
I see. I understand.
Does the owner live in at the property?
Could we do something like when the roof is replaced, this has to be?
I was actually also contemplating the idea of also...
Or new owner, or whatever.
Exactly.
I don't know. Like, if it's sold, it has to be changed.
I think that's something I want to take a look at. I don't want to give off, at this point. But as we were talking about this, I was thinking about the idea.
Yeah.
The hardship, mm-hmm. But then if it's transferred to somebody else...
Then we're back.
The new owner would be...
Well, the HDLC has often done retentions in situations of hardship with the proviso that when, for example, the roof is replaced, at that time the dormers would have to be rebuilt to be appropriate.
Right. And my question was, I believe, is the guideline 30% when the roof has...
20.
It's 20%? So if 20% of the roof has to be replaced, the guideline states that you need to replace that entire facet. And so I was also kind of like wondering, thank you for asking that, because I was also kind of wondering if maybe the proviso of if work comes to be that 20% or more of the roof has to be replaced, and that's not counting the area of the dormers themselves, just the rest of the true roof, then at that point maybe it would trigger removing the dormers or bringing them back to the more appropriate...
Yeah.
As long as, the proper drawings and details have been submitted to make sure that they're in compliance with, what was previously there and what's appropriate at that point.
And that would be marked as such in our permitting software. Mm-hmm. So if a roofing permit was ever applied for, that would trigger if they have to.
Well, I would also, and just following up on that, is that, and again, I'm just thinking off the cuff right here, which is that if, in fact, for hardship, if the commission decides that it cannot, or that it should not make this requirement upon the current owner, but that the property transfers,
I don't know that that's enforceable. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think it is, but I mean,
I'm not sure, and I would like to hear. I'm just saying.
I'm
doing this as an idea.
I understand.
Not as something I'm married.
I don't believe that's enforceable, but I mean, certainly if there's a new roof, if there's a new roof permit, then that would be. Yeah, I mean, whoever owns the property, when they, you know, if you need to get a roof permit, then you have to change it.
And if it's not, you know, like you hear your views on, like.
Well, I you know that.
Well,
that,
no, I mean that. I mean,
no, right. I'll be happy to share them with you. I mean that is it's almost like a restrictive covenant that I'm not sure that the VCC has the power to. Place a restrictive covenant.
I would agree, and I would say that because I was thinking that it should be recorded, it should be recorded as land records. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's why
I researched it, but my sense is that would not be enforceable.
Yeah.
I do have a question. I would gather maybe that that the resident has family, children, mm-hmm. or that will be passed on to a family member.
He does have children. I don't know what his situation is.
How would that impact if it's passed on?
So, I mean, I think that's what we're saying, is that the better option might be not selling or transferring. If the roof needs to be replaced, period, this has to be addressed.
And also from an architectural standpoint, if that slate roof, if it's installed correctly, is a great roof, and I wouldn't want anybody to have to take that off just because of a covenant that was in place, but if they are going for
if they're replacing
the roof already, and that also adds in that at the time that the roof is replaced, they have the option to not put dormers back at all, which is much cheaper than reconstructing the dormers. So you also have a hardship option built into the proviso.
You can put in Scott.
Right,
Scott.
Yeah. And also in that instance, I would like to say that I do think that if something like this were pursued in a motion, that I would like to consider that there's no alteration of the dormer until that time, because I feel like trying to retrofit what's there now with something that's not quite right is, at this point, not necessarily worth it. And I think that, you know, the goal would be to, like, keep in mind that when the work has to happen correctly. And there's no, you know, saying we've had it for 40 years, so, you know, can we keep it now?
Right.
And another thing too, if the commission decides to recognize the hardship and grant the retention, something to consider that if this is denied, that can be appealed to City Council, and City Council, should they overrule your denial and allow them to retain the dormers, would likely not have a proviso that they'd be replaced with something more appropriate at any time.
So does that mean that if it were to be considered in a motion, that it would be considered a motion for temporary retention with proviso,
yes.
blah, blah, blah? Okay, so it wouldn't be a denial with a... It would be the opposite.
Temporary retention for the life of the roof.
It's an approval.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. At this time, do we have any public comments?
Is that something that your client would be amenable to,
what we're asking for
prefer
is
prefer a denial.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we're asking to retain them, but if we can't retain them, you know, we can't afford to rip them out.
Yes.
So this is a good solution. So we've got to find some sort of one of the three options. You know, is you know whichever the commission feels is the best way to go.
Now remember this when you come back for the HVAC.
I will.
So I just have a quick question. So replacement of the dormers and the roof at this time. So, I mean, this has been going on for a number of years. So is there...
I didn't realize the slate roof lasted that long.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, it's like 60 plus.
The roof and it's every 15 years.
This is maybe a third... at a conversion estimate.
A third of its life.
Yeah, I mean, a 60
we'll
plus for a slate roof. Yeah.
Permanently retired.
And slate, and to be fair, in regards to the hardship right now, there have been multiple
delays on
receiving slate, and it is
And then how difficult...
And that was the cheapest estimate we got. I mean, it was... He was choking.
So, and you said you've done a lot of roof permits. How difficult is it? And I don't like to go on Nestle, so I totally get it. I've tried, and it's not fun. How difficult is it to repair a slate roof?
It's...
Or is it like...
We
you
don't
know,
recommend... Yeah, I mean,
don't recommend
walking or touching them at all. Mm-hmm. If you have HVAC or something located up there, OSHA codes and other codes, no. They have walkways and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think this might be your best best option in this case.
Do we have any other questions or comments before I allow the applicant? As the applicant, do you have any final words that you'd like to say?
No, I'm happy to answer any questions, but I think we covered everything, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Tony, did we have public comment?
I did ask, yes, and there were none. At this time, do we want? Are we ready to entertain a motion? I'm not allowed to make one.
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I make a motion to temporarily retain the dormers until the time that the roof needs to be replaced at either 30 or more percent. I'm sorry.
Would you 20%? I believe is the guideline.
Oh, 20 is 20% of the threshold. 20% or more, and that the dormers at that point have to be reconstructed based on the approval of ECC.
Do we have a second for that?
Second.
That's a motion by Commissioner Verdeaux and a second by Commissioner Veneziano. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None opposed. The motion passes. Thank you. And
thank you very much.
Thank you for working with us on this.
Oh, thank you.
At this time, we have no more items on the agenda to hear except for the ratification of, let me pull it up on my screen. The ratification of the staff actions and the
Architecture Committee.
Just the ratification, not like meeting minutes.
Yes.
The ratification of the Architecture Committee and staff actions since Wednesday, June 21st. Have you all had a chance to review the ratifications? And if so, do we have a motion for regarding those, a motion regarding a ratification?
I make a motion to ratify.
Second. Okay, it's a motion by Commissioner Verdeaux and a second by Commissioner Veneziano. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None opposed, the ratification passes. And at this time, we're at the end of our agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
And second.
Commissioner Veneziano and a second by Commissioner Toombs. All in favor?
Aye.
The motion passes. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Press the button.